Okay, good morning everybody, good Rosh Shavua Tov. I'd like to share with you something that struck me in reading Parshios Achrei Mos and Kedoshim yesterday, and it was inspired by a commenter of Hirsch, one of the comments of Hirsch that is, I find very powerful, very meaningful to me, something I've thought a lot about, I think I've spoken about it in the past in different venues, but I'd like to share with you something that Rav Hirsch says in the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mos and use that really as a springboard to something that I found throughout the Parshas of Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. Toward the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mos, of course, there is the description, the discussion of the Avoda of the Kohen on Yom HaKippurim. That is a good chunk, a good portion of Parshas Achrei Mos deals with the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Parshas Achrei Mos has three prakim, three chapters. Prakim Tes Zayin, Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches. Prakim Tes Zayin and Yud Ches are dedicated to aspects of Yom HaKippurim, as we'll see momentarily. But Perek Tes Zayin, the opening of Parshas Achrei Mos, specifically deals with the Avod of Yom HaKippurim. One of the critical elements of the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, is the offering of the Shnei Seirim, the two he-goats. So I'd like to take a look at those psukim, and then read you and share with you a comment of Rav Hirsch, and again, use that as a springboard to understand Parshas Achrei Mos. So really, really, toward the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mos, in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, it's on page 638, it's Perek Tezayin, chapter 16, Pasuk Hey. Aaron HaKohen says, as per commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ume'es Adas B'nei Yisrael Yikach Shnei Seirei Izim. And from the Jewish people, there are two Seirei Izim that are supposed to be brought, two he-goats that are supposed to be offered. And the Torah tells us not only two he-goats, Va'ayil Echad Le'ola, one ayil, one ram. So then the Torah tells us in Pasuk Vav that Aaron offers the Par HaChatas, he offers this bull appropriately as a Korban Chatas, and then the following. We pick up Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Zayin, page 638. V'lokach es shnei ha-seirim. Aaron takes these two he-goats. V'hem mirosam lefnei Hashem Pesach Ohel Moed. Aaron takes these two he-goats and places them in front of the Ohel Moed. Number one. Those are step number one. V'nosan Aaron al shnei ha-seirim gorolos. Aaron places on top of these two seirim, on top of these two he-goats, two lottery tickets, meaning two blank pieces of paper. Goral Echad LaHashem v'goral Echad LaAzazel. And on one of these pieces of paper, it says LaHashem, and the other it says LaAzazel. So we have two he-goats, two of them placed in front of the Ohel Moed, in front of the tent of meeting. And then furthermore, there are two pieces of paper. One says LaHashem, one says LaAzazel. And then whichever one will be removed and revealed to say LaHashem, the Torah tells us now, V'hikriv Aaron es ha-sayer, asher ola olav hagor LaHashem ha-sa-chatas. Aaron will take the he-goat that ultimately will be revealed if it is the one that says LaHashem on it through the lottery, and will bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into the holiest of all places, and offer it as a sacrifice. V'hasoyer asher ola olav hagor la'azazel yomor chai lefnei Hashem l'chaper olav l'shalach oso la'azazel hamir bar. However, the he-goat that is going to have the piece of paper with it written upon it la'azazel will be brought far out and will be thrown off the cliff la'azazel. The Gemara, commenting on this section of the Avod on Yom HaKippurim, says that the two he-goats are similar bimara, how they looked, bikoma, in their height, bidamim, the value of these two he-goats was identical, ulabikikasan ka'achas, they have to be absolutely identical, twin he-goats, exactly the same, without any shinui, without any difference whatsoever. And the Gemara goes to such an extent, the Gemara Masech Shavuah is telling us, they look identical, the same height, the same weight, the same monetary value, everything about them is exactly the same. And here's where Rav Hirsch, if you're familiar with Rav Hirsch's commentary, and if you're familiar with Rav Hirsch at all, he takes a pasuk, psukim, and simply a mitzvah, an important mitzvah, and really changes the whole focus of it and brings out something in his classical way to really re-describe and identify and explain what's really happening here. What's the significance of these two karbanos? Usually, we always have one karban. Why two karbanos? Why two higots? Why are they identical? Why are they exactly the same? What makes them so unique, and why do they have to be so specifically similar? I'll read you Rav Hirsch and I'll explain. Rav Hirsch writes, quite clearly, we have here the representation of two creatures, originally completely identical, who at the threshold of the sanctuary part and proceed on two entirely contrasting paths. Both are placed together in a similar way. Lifnei Hashem, Pesach HaMoed. They're given the same exact position. They're put in the same place. They look identical. The decision LaHashem, as the decision LaAzazel, hovers over both of them in exactly the same way. Both have exactly the same possibility of decision for one or the other. More, the one can only become what he does become because they've become the other. Meaning one can go LaHashem and one can go LaAzazel. And from there on, they separate into such completely different contrasts. The one, decided LaHashem, suffers shechita, death by the sharp cut of the sanctuary, but is then gathered up in a holy vessel and gets admitted to the Holy of Holies into proximity of the most holy spot where the ideal of a Jewish Torah life perfects itself as the bearer of godliness on earth. The other, decided LaAzazel, remains untouched by the cut of the sanctuary, does not suffer the shechita death, remains untouched and unchanged, chai, full of lively self before God at the entrance of the sanctuary, but as such is not admitted farther, but is sent out of its precincts, out of the sphere of human habitation, out into the desert, and then turning its back to the sanctuary, desolate in the desert, ends the uncultivated living for itself, which it has preserved, thrown off the cliff. Rav Hirsch basically explains that these two Seirim are identical in shape, in size, in height, in weight, and in monetary value. Both of them are placed in the very same exact spot. Both of them have the same potential and possibility. However, one is shechted and is used as the vehicle for kapara and tahara for Klal Yisrael. Its blood is sprinkled in the holiest place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the holiest day of the Jewish year, Shabbos Shabbason, inside Lefnai V'Lefnim of the Beis HaMikdash. The other one is taken far away from the Holy Temple, far away from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and ultimately is thrown off the cliff La'azazel. And then Rav Hirsch says, this is exactly the meaning of man, especially on Yom Kippur. Human beings, people are created identical. It's true, we may look a little bit different than the other. Some look one way, some are taller, some are lighter, some are one color, some are another color. But fundamentally and categorically, Rav Hirsch says that every human being is created with the potential and possibility to do good, or lo aleinu, to do evil. You have the potential to do tov and have chayim. But a person also at the same time has the potential to do ra and have maves. People, human beings, the Kadosh Baruch Hu created them with the same possibility. And with one choice, you could either make the decision, LaHashem, to enter a life full of vibe, full of excitement, enthusiasm, joy, full of mitzvos and Torah. But at the same moment, a human being and a person can choose a different lifestyle, can choose a lifestyle that is not full and is not rich of ruchnias. And I'll continue and read you Rav Hirsch. So are all of us, without distinction, placed at the entry to God's sanctuary to decide between Hashem and Azazel, between God and the power of our senses. There in the Holy of Holies, as the holiest of holies, rests the Torah, the law of His will facing us. We have that decision to be made. It can be made LaHashem, for God. We can decide for God, gathering together all the powers of resistance we have been given to resist everything and to live a life full of godliness. However, our decision can also be made LaAzazel at the entrance of the sanctuary. We can turn and run far away. We can refuse the sacrifice of our self-willed life of desires, refuse to give up the power of exercising our own will, which is open for us all. Thus explains Rav Hirsch, is the meaning and the deeper meaning behind the Sayer Lashem, the Sayer Lazazel. Two Seirim, two he-goats, identical in shape and size, in color and value and weight and in height. However, one will go Lahashem and one will go Lazazel. One will be the one that is the vehicle toward the ultimate Tahara and Kapara of Klal Yisrael. One will be thrown off the cliff. And so too with each of us, we have the possibility, the potential to decide, to think, to contemplate what we will, what we wish to do with our lives. It's so easy. And while Rav Hirsch's comment seems very deep, academic, and maybe foreign, it is so true. And you see this with human beings. There's a story that's told of the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. I'm sure I've told it before. But as a youngster, Rav Naftali Tzvi, the Netziv wasn't somebody who was terribly interested in his scholarship and his learning, so much so that he overheard his parents one night saying that this Naftali Tzvi, as he used to be in the olden days, if you weren't interested in being educated, so you had to go to learn a trade. It was either you learned and you were progressing in your studies, but education was for the best and the brightest. It wasn't available for everybody. And if not, so you went to learn a trade and that was fine. And his parents, he overheard his parents crying about the fate of this young Naftali Tzvi. And in the course of that conversation, he sort of fell asleep and he had a dream and he went through a very, very emotional turmoil where he started to realize that what is he going to make of himself? This story he recounted at a siyum that he made, and he said that it was possible for him to take two different paths in life. If it would have been that he would have just succumbed and not continued, so he would have gone on and he would have went on to have a trade. And yes, he would have had a fine life and whatever would have happened would have happened. But then he says, who would have known if I didn't listen and hear my parents crying and tearing about what would have come with me? Then the commentary that I wrote on the Chumash, the Emek Davar, would have never been. The commentary that I wrote on the Mechilta, the commentary that I wrote on the She'iltos, the commentary that I wrote on Shas, the Merome Sada, the yeshiva that I built, the Velazhen yeshiva, would have never been. And that poignant story speaks to the potential and the possibility that human beings have to go in one of two directions. The same person can ultimately succeed, to build, to grow, to conquer. And that very same person, unfortunately, could go on to live a life that is very, very foreign and different from that. And that, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin said, is the reason that he's making this particular siyum, is to share that story of overhearing what his parents said, and it gave him the realization that human beings have such power and potential to take life in one of two ways. You see this today in challenging situations that people have as well. You know, you see people who grow up very similarly in certain environments or in circumstances, and you could take the life and the background and the circumstances that one has, and it could be built, it could be grown, and it could head in one direction. And another person can take that and go in a very, very different direction. So the possibility and potential for success and for failure really lies in our hands. And the possibility to build and to grow. And ultimately, of course, Chalila lo aleinu, to fail and to plummet the depths of civilization also exist. And it's just one little decision often that a person makes that helps us realize our potential, or lo aleinu, to make a decision that can be fatal. Here is what Rav Hirsch explains and how Rav Hirsch understands the Sayer Lashem and the Sayer Lazalzel, the meaning behind the Sayer Lashem, the Sayer Lazalzel. And of course, I think it's very poignant that this is something that takes place on Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur, when we have the opportunity to think and to do tshuva and to really think about our lives and what we are and who we are, that decision is made. But in contemplating Rav Hirsch's comment, I began to realize that if you take a look throughout Parshas Achrei Mos and Kedoshim, you see this very same concept. This idea, the possibility and potential to take life in one direction or the other, to do good or lo aleinu, to make a terrible mistake. If you take a look in Perek Yurches, chapter 18 of Sefer Vayikra, which is toward the end of Parshas Achrei Mos, page 648, in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash, it's Perek Yurches, chapter 18, is the Parsha of Arayos, the Parsha of the forbidden relationships. You take a look, the Torah goes on from Perek Yurches through Pasuk Aleph toward the end of Perek Yurches, really toward the end of the chapter, Perek Lamed, the Torah tells us all of the illicit relationships, the immorality, incest, relationships with animals, all types of relationships that are prohibited according to the Torah. Very, very base, inappropriate relationships that we're familiar with that according to Torah law are prohibited. That's the Parsha of Arayas. Very, very base and Parshios that we're familiar with in terms of what's permitted and what is prohibited. Fascinating. And interestingly enough, do you know when this Parsha is read? Besides Parshas Achrimos, it's read one more time during the year. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah, B'minchav Yom Kippur Korin Ba'arayos, the Gemara says. Minchav Yom Kippur, we read the Parsha of Arayos, the illicit forbidden relationships. And Rashi and Tosfos, Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amar Aleph, debate why would we read that Parsha on Yom Kippur? We're talking about the most vain, the most illicit, the most inappropriate relationships that human beings have. The most inappropriate, the most wrong. And this is what we're reading on Yom Kippur, on Mincha of Yom Kippur, right before Ne'ilah, that the Gemara says, B'mincha korin ba'arayos. How could that be? So let me share with you Rashi and Tosfos' approach, and then in light of Rav Hirsch's commentary, I think I have a different way to look at this understanding as well. Rashi says, the reason that we read this parsha, chapter 18, Perek Yud Ches, of Sefer Vayikra, Shemi Shiesh Averos Biyado, anybody who has sins and is holding on to sins, Yifrosh Mehen, should separate from them. Lefish Harayos Avera Mitsuya, people make mistakes in these areas, in illicit relationships. Shenav Shol Shal Adam Mechamalsan V'Yitzro Tofo, a person has desire, he makes, or she makes mistakes in these areas. Therefore, now's the time to release the sins that you have made. It's a warning. The Torah is telling us, and Chazal are telling us, that we're reading this parsha to remind us, if you erred in this area, we're about to close the gates of heaven on Yom Kippur. Make sure you do tshuva. You know, sometimes in shuls, the rabbi speaks in Yom Kippur and tries to inspire the people to do tshuva. So Bizman Chazal, they read a parsha. They heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Tochach on Musar, and they hear Moshe Rabbeinu and Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud Ches, Parshas Achrimos, telling the Jewish people, be careful if you've erred, sinned, transgressed any of these illicit relationships, make sure there's a tshuva that's done for them. That's the reason Rashi explains why we read Parshas Arayos and Mincha of Yom Kippur. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos has a different understanding. Listen to this. Lefi she'anashim mikoshtos b'shvil kavariyom. Ladies, they come to shul on Yom Kippur and they put on their perfume. They get all dressed up on Yom Kippur, says Tosfos. Therefore, you have to warn, be careful, this could be dangerous, watch out. Now, that's striking. Really? Is that really what Tosfos is saying? That's the reason to read the Parsha of Arayos, because women are coming to shul on Yom Kippur, and therefore we should be careful and cautious? But I think now, in light of Rav Hirsch's comment, I understand Tosfos just a little bit better. The power of good and the power of evil are equal. The Sayer Lashem and the Sayer Lazazel are identical in value and shape, in height, in weight, in monetary value. Human beings can do such good, but human beings can cause such harm. And even on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish year, Shabbos, Shabbos, and much, much holier than Shabbos. We even fast when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Even in that circumstance, a human being can make such a terrible error, and sometimes the error can be even worse on a holy day. Chazal say, the Gemara says, Maseches Sukkah, Kol HaGadol Mechavero Yitzro Gadol Hemenu. Somebody who is greater can even have a greater Yetzer Hara. And therefore, on this day of Yom Kippur, it's critical to read this chapter, Perek Yud Ches, the end of Parshas Achrimos and Yom Kippur, Dafka, on the holiest day of the year, that's when a human being can make such a terrible mistake. The Tosfos concludes and says, B'medrash, Yesh L'kach Korn Barayos, the Medrash says the reason that we read this Perek on Yom Kippur, Mincha, Lefi Sheyisrael Osin Remez LaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has an alternative understanding, a homiletical explanation. Shekeshem Shehizir Osam Shtol Al Galos Erva, kachlo tegal ervasam ba'avonosam. The Medrash has a different metaphorical understanding as to why we read the Parsha of Arayos on Yom Kippur, because the same way that we're commanded not to reveal our nakedness, so too we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't reveal our nakedness. So that's a homiletic explanation. But again, as I said, in light of Rav Hirsch's understanding of the Sari Lashem and the Sari Lazazel, Dafka in this Parsha, Dafka when we are discussing and describing the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the end of Parshas Achrei Mos is read as well for the very same reason, to share with us that human beings have such possibility to do good, but at the same time such potential to do bad. And then it struck me. If you turn to Parshas Kedoshim, the Parsha again, of course, that we read yesterday, and on page 668, we also read the Arayos. We also read about the penalties for the forbidden relationships. And listen to the following pasuk. The Torah tells us, Perek Chaf, chapter 20, Parshas Kedoshim. In pasuk Yud Zayin, the following. V'ish asher yikach es achoso bas aviv. If a man has a relations with his sister, either the daughter of his father or mother, meaning his sister, v'ra es ervas, and he sees her nakedness, v'hi tira es ervaso, and she sees his nakedness, what does the Torah say? Chesed hu. Chesed hu? What's chesed? Chesed means it's kindness. It's righteousness. We all know what chesed is. The Torah says a man who sleeps with his sister reveals her nakedness, or she reveals his nakedness. It's chesed. It's kindness. It can't be what that word means. It's impossible. Chesed can't mean kindness. So the Radak says, Reb David Kimchi, one of the classic early Rishonim, who understands and explains and articulates the grammar of the Hebrew language of Lashon HaKodesh, says chesed can mean two things. Chesed can mean kindness, or chesed can mean disgrace. And in this context, it means it's a disgrace. But how, says the Radak, can the word chesed, kindness, also mean an antonym, which is disgrace? In English and in any language, we know that antonyms cannot be the same word. But explains the Radak, in Lashon HaKodesh, in the Hebrew language, the antonym of disgrace, which is kindness, can be found in the very same word chesed, and he explains that the two are related. Why? Because the disgrace of immorality, do you know where it comes from? It's the product of overindulgence. It's when you're too anxious, too excited to give pleasure to somebody else. You're so kind, you're so caring, you're so loving, that it causes a disgrace and a shame. And that's the opposite, how they attract. And the same way Rav Hirsch says, you have the Sar Lashem, the Sar Lazazel, identical in shape and size, so too when it comes to Arayos, when it comes to forbidden relations, the same thing can be true. A person can do such good, can be so caring and so kind, but at the same time provide a chesed that's disgraceful, that's an embarrassment, that's adultery, that is an absolute inappropriate act, and it is a form of prohibition, of course, of the most extreme extent. It's abusive, it's repulsive, it's prohibited, it's against the Torah. Chesed hu, it's a disgrace. Thus, chesed can be kindness, care, and concern, but at the same time, chesed can also be disgraceful, wrong, and terrible. And of course, that referred me and reminded me of a pasuk in Parshas Sefer Devarim, Parshas Kiseitze. The Torah tells us that it's prohibited for somebody to act promiscuously and to act really as a prostitute. And the Torah tells us, do you know what that's referred to? Such a person? Lo tia kedesha mi bnos Yisrael. A kedesha. Kedesha, the root word is kadosh, holy, sanctify, designated, special. Kedusha, holiness, can be this also a disgrace, can also be a form of promiscuity and inappropriateness, and designating oneself for acts that are immoral. That's what a prostitute does. She's a kedesha. She's immoral. She acts inappropriately. But the Torah uses the word kadosh and kedesha as antonyms, exact opposites. Just like you have chesed, which can mean disgrace and can also mean kindness, so too kadosh and kedesha, holiness and promiscuity, are also used the same. And then it reminded me just last week in Parsha Shmini, we read about the kosher and the non-kosher animals. And one of the non-kosher animals that we famously read about, the bird, do you know what the name of the bird is? Chasida. A chasida. And Rashi says that the reason that this bird is called a chasida is because she provides chesed, kindness. Asks Rashi, if she provides kindness and she's such a good bird, why is this bird treif? Why is this bird tamei? So the original Rebbe and others explain that Rashi says that this bird provides kindness for its kind only and not for any other animal. And therefore, that's why the chasida that provides chesed, kindness, is really a disgrace and is really prohibited and is a behema and a tamea, dafka for that reason. So therefore, Rav Hirsch's comment regarding specifically the Sarei Lashem and the Sarei Lazelzel brings out a whole new approach and way to understand Parshios Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. It's the way Chazal to say, Zeh l'umma zeh osalokim, dover v'hifuchov. You could have holiness and sanctity, and at the same time you could have profanity and promiscuity. You could have chesed that you provide, that you show, that you care for one, that could be abuse and adultery for another. You could have a behema that's a tahora because it's careful and kind with all mankind and all of its animal kingdom. But you could call it a chasida and it's a behema that's tmeya. And the same thing is true with kadosh and kedesha as well. And this brings us to the end of Parshas Achrei Mos. At the end of Parshas Achrei Mos is the Torah's description of the holiness of the land of Eretz Yisrael. If you take a look, page 654 in the Art School Stone Chumash, Perek Yurches, Pasuk Chavdalid, the Torah describes in great detail the beauty, the sanctity, the holiness of the land. Al titamu b'chol eila. You should not become contaminated through any of the relationships that were just described, right? We're piggybacking on the laws of the illicit, immoral relations that we were just talking about. Al titamu b'chol eila. Any God-fearing, good Jew should not do any of the acts that were just described, any of these immoral, illicit relationships. Because other nations of the world, for them, this is fine. There's no problem with the relationships that I've just described. However, if you act as it was just described, if you execute, perform, and live with these immoral acts that were just described, these illicit relations between man and woman, man and man, woman and woman, says the Torah, that you know what's going to happen? The land will contaminate it and will vomit you out. You will be dispersed from the land of Israel. The Ramban, Nachmanides, on this chapter, on this paragraph, on these psukim describes, because Eretz Yisrael is so holy, it can't tolerate any immoral behavior. Therefore, because the land of Eretz Yisrael is dafka so holy, these acts are an antonym. They're the exact opposite. They cannot be tolerated in the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's an impossibility. The kiddush of Eretz Yisrael is so, so holy. It's so, so extreme. It's so intense and it's so real that if there's any immoral act, if there's any immoral behavior, vataki haaretz es yoshveha, you will become contaminated and the land will be disgorged of its inhabitants. It doesn't make sense. It's an impossibility. Man can do such appropriate, good, kind, and wonderful and appropriate things, but at the same time, such terrible, awful, and despicable things. And the land of Eretz Yisrael, due to its holiness and sanctity, cannot tolerate it. There is a beautiful, beautiful letter that the Ramban, Nachmanides, sent his son Nachman. The Ramban traveled, of course, from Spain to Eretz Yisrael to emigrate, to move to Eretz Yisrael. And after a very, very long trip, he arrived in Eretz Yisrael. And we have letters that he wrote back to his son in Europe. And in a famous letter, the Ramban writes, after weeks and weeks and weeks of travel, and days of finally entering the land of Eretz Yisrael, I found myself at the western wall at the Kosel HaMaravi. And the letter is so powerful and beautiful to read, how the Ramban writes, he's waited his whole life to reach Eretz Yisrael, to reach Yerushalayim, to reach the Kosel HaMaravi. And then he writes, he couldn't even find a minyan to daven. He couldn't even find people to connect with, to daven b'tzibur in Yerushalayim. And then he writes the following thing, Kol ha-mikudosh mechavero mechulal mechavero. Anytime sanctity is great and is intense and is powerful, there lies the potential for desecration. Dafka in the holiest place in the world, the holiest spot on the planet, that's Dafka the place where I see such contamination, the inability to have a minion. I see Avodah Zarah. I see such terrible things taking place. The Ramban says sanctity and holiness are antonyms. They're opposites. They don't work together. But at the same time, place where there's such holiness, such sanctity, Dafka there could be such contamination. A place that could hold and can bring the Jewish people together is also the place, the base of Avodah Zarah. That's why it's so painful when we see. And Kodesh HaKadoshim, Dafka there, as the Navi says, Shualim Hilchuba, at the end of Eicha, right? The most painful thing that the Navi Yirmiyahu describes when we read Eicha and Tisha B'Av is when the Navi Yirmiyahu sees Shualim, when he sees fox meandering on Har HaBayis. How can that be? This is the holiest place, and there are foxes roaming on Har HaBayis, the place where the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur served the Kadosh Baruch Hu, brought the Sari Lashem, and that's the place where Klal Yisrael received their ultimate atonement. And there, Shualim, Hilchuba, foxes were just meandering and going to the bathroom on Har HaBayis. It can't be. And that's the pain that we see on Har HaBayis today, when we don't see what's supposed to be there. Instead, we see Avodah Zarah on Har HaBayis. It should bring such pain, and it is painful to watch and to see, but this is what the Ramban describes when he reached Eretz Yisrael upwards or close to 1,000 years ago, when he said, Kala mekudosh mechavero mechulal, any time and any place where sanctity is prevalent, that's dafka the place where mundane and inappropriate activities could take place. And that's what the Ramban Nachmanides says at the end of Parshas Achrimos and these psukim regarding Eretz Yisrael, that Dafka in Eretz Yisrael, we have to act different. We have to behave differently. And those and he or she who is unable to act properly, appropriately in the land of Israel, Vataki Haaretz Es Yosrea, the land will be disgorged of its inhabitants because the holiness and the sanctity of the land of Eretz Yisrael must be maintained and must be retained. However, if you continue to read throughout Parshas Kedoshim, you see the very same thing. This Davar V'Hifucho, Kedusha and Tumah as antonyms. The holiness, the sanctity, and at the same time, the opposite, the inappropriate things that take place. Take a look in the opening psukim, Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yotes, page 656 in the Art Scroll Stone Chumash. You see the very, very same thing. The Torah talks about Kedusha, sanctity, holiness. That's Parshas Kedoshim. Dabrel kol adas me'esel v'matam kedoshim tiyu. We are charged to be a holy people. Ki kadosh ni Hashem lokechem. What is sanctity? What is holiness? Ish imov aviv tiro. You should fear your mother and your father. Veshapsosai tishmor ni Hashem lokechem. Fear your mother and your father. Right? That's the mitzvah d'oraisa of fearing one's parent. And observe the Shabbos. The very next pasuk dalet, al tifnu el alilim velahim asechel osasloch amani Hashem lokechem. Do not make idols, only molten images. How do you understand the juxtaposition of being holy, honoring, fearing one's father and mother, keeping Shabbos, and then dafka in the very same pasuk dalet, the Torah tells us, don't turn to elilim, don't turn to idols, don't create these images. Elohim asechel osasloch amani Hashem lokechem. So here I understand now differently than I ever did in Parshas Kedoshim. And if you take a look throughout Parshas Kedoshim, which has tens and tens of mitzvos, mitzvos asei and mitzvos lo asei, what the Torah and the Parsha is telling us is that a person can fear his father and his mother. A person can observe Shabbos. but at the same time, a person can create avodah zarah. What are you going to do with your life? How are you going to act? Are you going to honor your father and your mother? Are you going to observe the Shabbos, which is a testimony to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or at the very same time, a person has the same power to fail and to commit terrible sin and to ultimately create, to turn to idols, to molten gods, and to make these things for oneself. It's an amazing, amazing thing that the Torah is telling us in these parashas. Watch out, be careful. You could do such good. You could be a kadosh, kadoshim tiyo, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, shapsosai tishmara, kabedes avicha vesimecha, but at the same time, Elohim aseichel osaslam. You have the power and the possibility. And now that's how we understand the Aseres HaDibros, that's how we understand the mitzvos Aseh and the mitzvos Los Aseh. And that's how we understand Parshas Kedoshim, as I'll share with you multiple psukim, where you see just the opposite taking place. Take a look at the next pasuk. Psukim Hey, Vav, Zayin, and Ches. The Torah will tell us about Karbanos. The Chisiz B'chuzev Achshlamim LaShem, you're going to offer a peace offering, a shlamim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is it going to be? Lirtzonchem. It's going to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. A korban is liratzon. A korban finds favor in the eyes of Hashem. However, the Torah tells us that's only true b'yom zivchavchem. That's only when you are offering a korban zevach l'Hashem and eating it that day. However, b'yom ashlishi, if you're going to eat it on Yom HaShlishi, ba'eshi saref pigul hu lo yeratzeh. It's only going to be if you're offering a korban to Hashem at the right time, at the proper time, and you eat it the time and the place that you're supposed to. But if a person is going to wait too late to eat the korban, then the Torah tells us, lo yeratzeh. It is not going to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. So a korban can be liratzon. Hashem. A korban can be desirable to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A korban can find favor in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, only with a contingency, only with a t'nai, only with the caveat that you're eating it at the proper and appropriate time. But if you don't, if you wait too late, then it's pigul, then it's wrong, it's bad, it's inappropriate, and it doesn't find favor in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Take a look at another pasuk, page 660. Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yurches, famous Pasuk, Lo Sikom Velo Sitor, you shall not take revenge and you shouldn't bear a grudge. And then in the very same breath, the very same Pasuk the Torah tells us, V'hafta L'Reacha Kamocha. Usually we only know the second half of the Pasuk, V'hafta L'Reacha Kamocha, you shall love your friend as much as you love yourself. That's wonderful. That's a klal gadol b'Torah, like Rabbi Akiva says. But at the same time, the Torah tells us, lo sikom velo sitor, don't bear a grudge, don't take revenge. Because what the Torah is stressing, that we have two possibilities, two potentials that human beings can do, not just in the service of Hashem, but in the way that we treat others. A human being can take revenge. A human being can bear a grudge. A person could be awful, could be nasty, could be mean. Or a person could smile, a person could be friendly, a person could be caring, a person could shower somebody else with lovingness, with kindship, with friendliness, with brotherhood. Human beings have such potential and possibility. We could take life in one of two directions. It could be a v'hafta l'reacha kamocha person, or you could be a lo sikom v'lo sitor person. The choice is up to you. This is Rav Hirsch's point at the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mos with the Sar Lashem, the Sar Lazazel. This takes us to the midsection and the end of Parshas Achrei Mos, the description of the illicit relations that are read on Yom Kippur Dafa because it's a possibility that a person has to do such good on Yom Kippur. But a person, Chas V'Shalom, who doesn't, the sin is even greater. When we're given the opportunity and we're given the possibility to do tshuva, when we have the matana gedola, the great gift to give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the opportunity to do tshuva, and we say, we're not interested, that is a chov gadol, it's a terrible debt against us. And that's dafka, the reason that we read the parsha of Arayos and Yom Kippur, to remind us that we could go in one of two ways, just like the Sar Lashem, the Sar Lazazel. That's why there's a Kedusha and there's a Kedesha. That's why we have Chesed, which is kindness, caring, concern, as well as also being potentially disgraceful and in a terrible act. That's why the Chasida is the bird that is not kosher, and that's the very same reason that Eretz Yisrael can't tolerate inappropriate behavior, and that takes us through Parshas Kedoshim, where we see all of the mitzvos asay and the mitzvos lo asay. On the one hand, you could do great, and you could build, and you could grow, you could help, and you could connect, but on the other hand, lo aleinu chas v'shalom, a person can create havoc, can wreak havoc. And the same way that we see this true in the Torah, we also see this true in life, that people have these two possibilities and potentials. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the energy, the courage, the strength to use all of the kochos, the energy, the cognitive ability, the emotional strength that we have, the mental energy that we have, to be able to use what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us for good and make sure that we stay away from everything that Hashem wants us to stay away from. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.